Good morning. As you know, this is Decision Sunday. As you pray and think about your giving, our scripture has guidance for us about giving in response to God's generosity to us. Let us hear first now the words from the book Malachi, the 3rd chapter, the 10th verse. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and thus put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you an overflowing blessing. Then the words of St. Paul, the church at Corinth, the church at Cocoa Beach. Now it is not necessary for me to write to you about the ministry for the saints, for I know about your eagerness, which is the subject of my boasting about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Cocoa Beach has been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I am sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you may not prove to have been empty in this case, so that you may be ready, as I said you would be. Otherwise, if some Macedonians come with me and find that you are not ready, we would be humiliated, to say nothing of you in this undertaking. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and to arrange in advance for this bountiful gift that you have promised, so that it may be ready as a voluntary gift and not as an extortion. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to provide you with everything in abundance, so that you may always have enough of everything, so you may share abundantly in every good work. And lastly, of course, the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from the Gospel of Luke, the 6th chapter, the 38th verse. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. May God bless the reading and the hearing and the prayer and the meditation on these holy words. Amen. I have to begin this morning by thanking you for the wonderful, warm hospitality you've extended to me throughout this campaign, which has been about 6 months. And then even prior to that, as Rodney Ketchum and I had conversations for well over a year, year and a half in advance of this campaign, it was a wonderful joy. Even though I never got to know Rodney face-to-face, it was a wonderful blessing just to talk with him on the phone and to hear about his love of this church and his faith in God and his belief in this Quo Vadis initiative. And so I've really come to know what a wonderful congregation this is. Every time I've come, you greeted me not as a stranger, but as a fellow member, and I'm greatly appreciate your making me feel like a member of this wonderful family. You truly are a wonderful, warm, caring, faithful community here in Cocoa Beach, and I thank you for making me feel a part of your congregation for this short time. Today, as I said earlier, this is Decision Sunday. As you think about your giving, your commitment to the church, you express your gratitude to God for all of your blessings. And the scripture, of course, gives us guidance about giving time and time again. In some settings, and I've done these kind of campaigns for 22 years now, and in some settings, some people have said to me, this must be the Sermon on the Mount. I have to say the first service got that better. I've learned that in this church you do have a sense of humor and that you can appreciate that. And of course, if you are a committed member of this church, you are thinking about the amount. You're trying to say to God, how much can I give? How much can I give to show my appreciation for all the blessings I've received in my life? And And what's the appropriate amount for me to give in proportion to my blessings for my assets and income over the four-year giving period? How much can I give? Please tell me what the amount is. And, of course, I'm not here to tell you what the amount is, but our Scripture certainly does give us guidance in figuring that out. Of course, it started with the words of Malachi. And if you really listen carefully to each one of these verses, they really, in many ways, paraphrase each other. In the words of Malachi, it is God speaking. Must start out with God speaking. God's, in the verses prior to that, the people were complaining about, well, we really don't have enough. You know, times are tough, and we really are struggling, dear God, with our faith. And tell us what to do. And then God answers in the verse prior to this, well, no wonder you've got problems. You've been robbing me. I wouldn't dare to say that to you, but God says that. You've been robbing me. You haven't been giving enough. You're not tithing. And then God in the 10th verse, as I read, says, put me to the test. If you bring first the full tithe into the storehouse so there may be enough of all my people, put me to the test and see if I do not shower you with an overflowing blessing. That's God's promise. And I have to tell you that in my life, that's been my experience. For us as a family, we've tithed now for many, many years. And, of course, being Dutch, well, I was glad that Dr. Fred gave the proper Dutch pronunciation of my name. I'm more used to saying Van der Weyden, but Van der Weyden is a proper Dutch pronunciation. Being Dutch, you know, I don't believe anything until I've tried it for myself. And so 1 year we decided to tithe. And, of course, it was easy to figure out. Unlike income tax, where you have to go to line 5 and page 42 and deducted deductions, exemptions, and so on. Tithing, of course, is very easy. You move the decimal point over one space, and you know what 10% of your income is, and you give that first before you pay everything else. And so I think that part of why that God made it that way is so easy to figure out. So it was easy to figure out, but it was clearly an act of faith to engage in tithing. And what I found is it worked. God was up to the test, and we were fully able to keep our tithe and support our family. And now my wife and I have been married 37 years and got four kids through college, and I've learned that tithing does work, and you cannot outgive God. Truly, if you do give God a tithe, 10% of what you have, God does outgive you and provide an overflowing blessing. The way I like to think about this scripture, in another version of the scripture, it says, God says, put me to the test, and see if I do not open the windows of heaven and shower you. Imagine the shower, being showered with an overflowing blessing from God. That's how generously God wants to give us because, of course, God loves us. And then of course, the scripture from Jesus, you know, Jesus was not a typical preacher. Jesus had a gift of getting right to the point. Unlike pastors who go on, and some pastors who say, and then finally, and they go on another 15 minutes. Jesus had a gift for getting right to the point. And in the scripture from the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is being very direct. Give, and it will be given to you a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. Give, and it shall be given to you. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. Jesus was saying, paraphrasing the scripture from Malachi, he was reminding the people of what God said in those times, that first we give and then God gives back as we demonstrate our faith in God's providing. And, of course, God provides abundantly. And so Jesus, of course, was using the parable of the marketplace that people in those times were familiar with. He was speaking the words that they would understand, because in the marketplace in those times, if you went shopping for grain, you, of course, took your own bag with you. Some of us are getting used to taking our own bags or groceries, and we don't have to worry about recycling the paper or plastic. And so in those days, they exercised good concern for the environment. They took their own burlap bag with them. They didn't have to be asked paper or plastic. And if you were going to a good and fair and a just merchant, that merchant would take your burlap bag and pour the grain into it, and then would shake the bag to get all the air out, and then pour more grain in and press that grain down, shake the bag a little bit more, and then pour more grain in again to the point that the bag was overflowing. That was the measure of a good and fair merchant in Jesus' time. And that was the way that Jesus was expressing the way that God provides for us. If we give, God will provide for us a blessing, shaken down, pressed down, and overflowing will be poured into our lap, more than what we need, if we give first to God. And of course, Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and life in abundance. And I visualize him saying that with his arms spread out, saying, all these things, everything you need will really provide it for you if you put first God's kingdom. Jesus said, if you put first God's kingdom, everything else will be yours as well. The way I think about that is putting first things first, putting faith first in God's providing. God does provide everything we need. Now, of course, we've gotten out of touch with abundance in our times because we're taught from the time we are very young to believe that whatever we have is not good enough. Next year, there's always something new and improved. You've got good toothpaste. Of course, next year, you've got to have the new and improved toothpaste that not only cleans your teeth, but it makes them shiny and white. If you've got a good automobile, of course, next year it's not good enough unless it has dual temperature controls for both the driver and the passenger, so you can each control how comfortable the car is, and almost like there's a wall between the two and the air doesn't move. Sometimes we have a little combat in our car as far as whose temperature is going to be the more controlling to make each of us comfortable. Or you have a good television set, of course, it's got to be a flat-screen TV that's plasma. Every year we're taught that whatever we have is not good enough. I'll have enough when I have the job my boss has, some of us think, or I'll have enough when I have the home that my neighbor has. Or I'll have enough when I'm retired, but I seldom hear people that are retired say, we've got more than enough. And Jesus is trying to help us realize that God does provide more than enough of everything that we really need, not the luxuries, but everything we really need to have healthy, happy, and whole and fulfilling lives. And sometimes getting rid of those things that our society tells us we need really brings us happier lives. And, of course, we're not in touch with abundance because when we receive grain now, we're used to receive it in cereal boxes that are seldom overflowing, right? They are usually look like they've been shaken and root. And sometimes you have to look way down in the box to see what's in there. Being at my age, you're sometimes concerned about having enough roughage. So it looks like sometimes twigs and branches in there. And sometimes if I got what I really like, which is Cocoa Puffs, the box may be more nutritious than what's inside. So it's no wonder we're out of touch with what Jesus is talking about, the measure that's pressed down, shaken, and overflowing that God provides for us when we give generously. And then lastly, of course, the scripture from St. Paul. Now, you know, of course, St. Paul was the typical preacher. St. Paul wrote all these long, long letters to the churches to encourage them. And what I read this morning was, of course, just a brief portion of the letter, the second letter of St. Paul to the church at Corinth. As I was reading this, of course, you noticed that I changed a couple words. This is the first church I've had where the words are right on the screen and everybody's looking over here while I was reading the scripture. And here, of course, we're checking to make sure that I didn't change anything or edit anything. And I think the only thing I changed, of course, was to mention the church at Cocoa Beach because, of course, God is still speaking to us, not just from 2,000 years ago. Now, St. Paul, in this ninth chapter of this letter, and he goes on six more chapters, he starts out this ninth chapter by saying, now it is not necessary for me to write to you about this ministry to the saints, this offering, because I know of your eagerness. So it's not necessary for him to write, but he goes on six more chapters. Typical preacher says, and finally, and then goes on. So it's not necessary for me to write to you about the ministry for the saints, for I know of your eagerness, which is a subject of my boasting. He's been bragging about the community church at Cocoa Beach, saying to other churches, these people are truly faithful and generous. But I'm sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you may not prove to have been empty, so that you may be ready with your offering, as I have said you would be. Otherwise, if those others in those other communities come with me and find that you are not ready, we would be humiliated, to say nothing of you, in this undertaking. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead of me, and arrange in advance for this bountiful gift. I think that's the first mention of church fundraisers ever in Scripture. And he goes on to say, so your gift may be voluntary and not as an extortion. Now, I sometimes wonder about the brothers, what kind of persuasion they used when they came on ahead. But clearly, he was making sure that the offering was ready and proportional to people's blessings. And then he finally comes to the point. The point is this. The one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And so he was once again paraphrasing Jesus and paraphrasing Malachi. Jesus was saying, as you give, so shall you get. And God was saying, if you give, I will shower you with an overflowing blessing. And I've learned about sowing in my life. Our backyard is surrounded by trees. And unlike Florida, we have seasons that require that after the winter, I have to re-sow the seed in my backyard because of the woods and also the winter. And also we have dogs that sometimes tear up the backyard running through the snow. And so every spring I have to sow grass seed in our backyard. And I've learned firsthand that if I sow sparingly, I won't have a lawn come very quickly. And in fact, I'll be lucky if I have a lawn by the end of the summer. But if I start in the spring and sow bountifully, the grass will grow and grow together, and I will have a lawn fairly quickly and be able to enjoy. And that's the same thing that St. Paul is getting at. If we give generously, if we help others, if we have a life of sowing bountifully, of bringing blessings to others, God will enable us to reap bountifully everything we need. And then St. Paul goes on and say, and God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, more than enough, so you may always have enough of everything. So you may always share abundantly in every good work. And St. Paul is assuring us that not only can we give to our church, but not only giving to our church does not shortchange us of what we need, but in fact, if we sow bountifully to our church and give generously, that God will provide more than enough blessings for our lives. And that's been the experience in my life as well. As I think about ending of this message, I have to share with you a wonderful experience I had earlier this week. I was working with a church in Ohio, and they were beginning their campaign just at the same point this congregation was about 6 months ago. And we began with the orientation meeting where we met with the campaign committee. And one of the members was called to be the lead gift chairperson, he and his wife. And when I had interviewed them for the feasibility study, they had shared with me with great peace of mind and joy and faith that they had always tithed in their lives, and they had gotten in the habit of tithing, and God had always provided everything they needed. And they said it very humbly, but with great peace of mind. And so when it came time for the church to recruit the lead gift committee co-chairs, they were recruited. And so we came to this orientation meeting this Tuesday, and Roy sat down with a group and said, before we start, I'd like to share with you the experience I've had. Of course, I've been praying about my gift, and when I got the campaign manual, I, of course, read the responsibilities of the lead gift chairs, and it said that we were supposed to give 10% of the goal. And their goal, I have to tell you, was a little lower than yours. Their goal was $930,000. Of course, yours is $950,000. And Roy said, of course, we've been praying about that and trying to figure out how we could do that. And one night I was laying awake. I couldn't fall asleep saying to God, I don't know that we can do that. And I fell asleep. And he said, and then I had a dream, and it reminded me of the fact that so many times that God does, in Scripture, spoke to people through dreams. And here was a modern-day example that he said, I had a dream during the night, and when I woke the next morning, what I remembered from the dream was that God said to me, Roy, you've already got that money. And I had to admit that I did. Talked with Wilma, and if we actually gave 20% of our assets, and this was a retired couple, just like many of you, been retired for quite a few years already. If we gave 20% of our assets, we could make that 10% of the goal gift. And we realized that God had been good to us for our whole lives, and we've been tithing in the past, so we decided to make that gift. And he said, I hope that might help the rest of us believe our goal is possible. But he said, you know, of course, we do make that with some anxiety and worry about whether we'll have enough, because that is 20% of our resources, a double tithe of what they've accumulated in their lives. And I said to them, well, of course, God's been faithful to you throughout your life, and they nodded. So I said, I see no reason that God would now not be faithful to you at this point in your life and providing for you. And Rory responded, well, yes, God's had a good track record, with us in our lives. And, of course, God's had a good track record in relationship to our church. And that really is the fact, that we know that our God has had a good track record in providing for us throughout our lives and for this church and throughout the history of our lives as Christians. And God is up to the test of our giving. If we give generously more than is expected of us, God will provide more than we could ever imagine of the things that we really need to have healthy and happy lives. And so I know that you, as a generous people, as I've experienced you, that you will give generously more than is expected of you and bountifully and joyfully in response to God's generosity to you, and that you will give joyfully and find that peace of mind that passes understanding, and you will provide in proportion to God's blessings to you with faith in God's providing. Amen. God bless you.